We read this morning Luke chapter 23 and chapter 24. We'll begin reading at Luke 23, verse 50. And although in the bulletin it says we will read to verse 12 of chapter 24, I'd like to do what we did Friday evening and read a rather significant portion of Scripture and read through verse 35 of chapter 24. But we begin at the 50th verse of chapter 23. "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel indeed of them. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with him, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou not only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our own company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. We'll read the passage that far. This morning, let's look together at especially verses 4 through 8 of chapter 24. Really also the first three verses, but we'll read verses 4 through 8. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this past Friday evening, we began the sermon by emphasizing the central importance and significance of the cross of Jesus Christ. We said this past Friday evening that the cross is the heart, the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we demonstrated that by making the point that any passage in all of God's Word in some way proclaims and sheds light upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everything we said about that Friday evening was certainly true. And it was certainly true because when it comes to matters of our salvation from sin, without the cross, we have absolutely nothing. But understand well, beloved, this morning, that everything we talked about in connection with the cross and our salvation from sin means nothing for us unless we hear the gospel message, not only of the cross Friday evening, but unless we hear the gospel message, the good news of the resurrection from the grave. Because understand that on that cross, Jesus Christ earned our salvation. He earned our spiritual life. But that life that Jesus earned for us, if He remained in that grave, could never have been given to us, applied to us. Everything He did on that cross is worthless in a certain sense, unless the Lord Jesus Christ would arise from that grave, and that resurrection life earned on the cross could then be applied to us so that we now enjoy the blessings of our salvation. We must hear that message this morning, the message of the angels to the women when they arrived at the tomb that morning. He is not here, but He is risen. Let's hear that message. Let's experience the joy of the resurrection gospel this morning under the theme, Not Here, But Risen. Let's see three things. The women's perplexity. In the second place, the angel's message. And last, the church's faith. Not here, but risen. The women's perplexity, the angel's message, and the church's faith. Let's pick up the narrative this morning where we left off Friday evening. It was at 9 o'clock in the morning on that Friday that the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross. And at some point from 9 o'clock until noon, some point in that period of time, He said the words that we considered this past Friday evening. He said those words to the malefactor at His side, "Today thou shalt be with Me in paradise." At noon, something happened. The whole world experienced a darkness that has never been experienced before. A darkness like none other to indicate that something special was taking place. A darkness that indicated that at this time, the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross was experiencing the wrath of God for all of your sins and my sins and the sins of every single one of His children. At the end of those 3 hours of darkness, Jesus from the cross cried out those three words, "It is finished," indicating thereby that every sin of every one of His children had been atoned for, had been paid for, had been covered. And then He said that last cross word, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And with those words, the Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost and died. All of this did not take place without notice. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was very much a public event. It had to be public. The whole world had to know and see that the Son of God was crucified on that cross. People took notice of what took place. And among those were certain women. Women that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Women that cared for Him, especially regarding His physical needs during His earthly ministry. From the accounts in the Gospels, we learn who some of these women were. Mary Magdalene, the sinner brought to faith by Jesus Christ. Mary, the mother of James, Salome, and Joanna, and possibly more women, observed these events. Another one who observed what took place was Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea, that's where we began reading the Scriptures this morning. Joseph also loved the Lord. He awaited the coming of God's kingdom. And it was Joseph, out of his love for the Lord, that went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. He desired to take the body of the Lord and give it the proper burial that it deserved. And so he did that. He took the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the time that he had, prepared it for a proper burial. This was on Friday, the day before the Sabbath, and he only had a certain amount of time. And so he did what he did. He took it and wrapped it in the grave clothes, and he placed it in that tomb, a tomb that no man had ever been laid in. That was Friday. Then there was the Sabbath day, Saturday, and we don't read of anything that took place with respect to Jesus' body on the Sabbath day. It laid there in that grave the entire Sabbath day. Then came Sunday morning, the first Easter morning. Those women, with sadness in their hearts, went to the grave. They went to the grave with the precious ointments that they had prepared in order to complete the embalming process, to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ with these precious ointments. They went with sadness in their hearts. It was the Lord, their friend, their Savior, that who had that had died. As they were walking to the grave, they inquired about the stone. They knew that the stone had been placed in front of the tomb. And they said, as they were approaching the tomb, who shall roll away the stone from in front of the tomb? Apparently, these women did not know about the guards that had been placed in front of the tomb to guard the body of Jesus. We don't read anywhere of them inquiring about what to do about them. But they were wondering about the stone. And that's why, when Mary Magdalene, as they were approaching the grave, saw from afar off that the tomb was no longer covered by the stone, acted impulsively. And she jumped to her own conclusions, immediately ran back to Peter and the other disciples and said, "This is what happened. They took the body, they stole the body out of the grave." But the other women continued. They went to the grave, and those women had the privilege of hearing the first announcement of the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. To say the least, they were surprised. They had expected to see that stone in front of the tomb, but it was rolled away. And the passage that we have in front of us this morning describes for us two emotions that these women experienced when they went to the grave. The first was this: they were perplexed. That's what we read in verse 4. "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout." It's interesting what the passage says. It doesn't simply say that they were perplexed, but it says that they were much perplexed. They were confused. They were at a loss for words. What is going on here? What are we observing? Why were they confused? Why were they perplexed? It has to do with what we read in verses 2 and 3. They were confused in the first place because the stone had been rolled away. But more importantly, they were perplexed. They were at a loss for words because when they looked into the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew it was there. That's what we read at the end of chapter 23. They were with Joseph. They saw his body laid in that grave. Put yourself in their shoes. Fully expecting to see the body of Jesus Christ. And then it's not there. Confused. What's going on here? And then the text says that their second emotion was fear. "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid," the fear came especially because of the angels. Two men in shining garments, two angels appeared in front of them. And possibly out of reverence, also possibly because of the shining brilliance of these angels, they bowed their heads to the ground, afraid at what is taking place here. First resurrection morning, women at the grave, not like us who come to church this morning, joyful in our hearts, but perplexed and afraid. But they shouldn't have been. And that's the point of this passage. A moment ago we said that it was out of love that these women went to that grave that morning. They went out of love with their precious ointments that they had prepared in order to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, people of God, that they should have not gone there in order to anoint a dead body. They did that in the weakness of their faith. They should have known that morning when they went to the grave, they would not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the point of the message of the angel to these women that first Easter morning. What was that message? The essence of the message of the angels to the women that morning is what we find at the beginning of verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. That's the resurrection gospel this morning. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear the word of the angel at the beginning of verse 6. That's why the theme of the sermon is what it is. He is not here, but He is risen. That's the joyful news of the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus. He was in that grave. He was at one point dead in that grave. On Friday, it was certainly the case that the nails were pierced through His hands and His feet, and that He hung on that cross. On Friday, it was certainly the case that He cried out those words, "It is finished. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." Those soldiers certainly came to the cross expecting to find three malefactors alive, expecting to hasten their death by breaking their legs. But they saw the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, dead already, pierced His side to indicate that He had truly died. Most certainly had Joseph taken down that dead body, wrapped it in the linen clothes, and placed it in that tomb. He was in that tomb dead. But now, according to the word of the angel, He is not here, but He is risen. Observe the tomb. It's empty. Observe the grave clothes, undisturbed, with the headpiece at the side, all of which indicates that the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave. That's the message of the resurrection. He is not here, but risen. But the point of the angels that morning to the women was that they should have known that. Everything the angels say to the women that morning indicate that point. And it starts with the question that those angels asked the women. Question found at the end of verse 5. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Now that question should be translated a different way, a better way, and it's significant that we see that this morning. The better translation of that question is, why seek ye the living one among the dead? It's a rhetorical question that the angels ask those women. It was a question that was meant to prove a point, a question the answer to which was obvious. You seek in vain. You're seeking for the living one among the dead. You will seek in vain. You will not find this living one. The question, at the very least, indicated what had taken place. It indicated that the Lord Jesus Christ had certainly arose from the dead. But there's so much more to that question of the angels, because it indicates who it was that arose from the grave that Sunday morning. That's the significance of understanding the better translation. Why seek ye not simply the living, but why seek ye the living one? The Lord Jesus Christ is the living one, unlike any other person that we say is alive. Jesus Christ, in a special way, is the living one, the one who has the source of all life, spiritual life. The grave, therefore, could not and would not hold the Lord Jesus Christ. The grave could not have the victory over the Lord Jesus Christ because of who He was and still is as the living one. How many times in the course of Jesus' ministry did He not make that clear, connecting who He is with that significant truth of life and Him as the living one. Think of the words to some of these women at the death of their friend Lazarus. Lazarus arose by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what were the words of Jesus? I am the resurrection and the life. Think of the words to Thomas. I am the way, the truth, and I am the life. Think of the other I am statements that Jesus made during His earthly ministry. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. Think of John's words at the beginning of his gospel. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. All throughout His ministry, Jesus made it clear, I am in a special way as the Son of God, the Living One. And therefore, as that Living One, this grave in which He was laid could not hold Him, He would have victory over that grave. He would arise from the dead. But then there's more. Because the angels go on to make the point even clearer. When they say at the end of verse, the end of verse 6 and verse 7, remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. This simply adds support to the fact that He was the Living One, and as the Living One must arise from the dead. He would arise from the dead because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said that He would do so. And the women knew that the Lord Jesus Christ said these words. Remember, the angels say, these words of Jesus, He would rise the third day after His death at the hands of wicked men. These words that the angels quote from Jesus were spoken by Jesus after the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that history. Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and He came down from the mount and He observed the disciples trying to cast out an evil spirit from a man. And they could not do it. They could not do it because of their lack of faith. And at that point, He said these words, I must, at the hands of wicked men, die and be crucified, and then arise again 3 days later. Even in these words, quoted by the angel, we have a host of significance. Really, why these things are taking place in the life of Jesus Christ. He says, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day arise. Notice what He says there. It's not simply a statement of what would take place. When Jesus uttered these words, He wasn't simply looking into the future and saying, this will take place in my life. At the hands of wicked men, die and be crucified, and 3 days later arise. That's not what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? He said this, I must die and rise again in 3 days. There's no other options. This will take place because this must take place. And right there we have the significance of everything we're talking about right now when we talked about Friday evening. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, God but truly man, came to this earth to accomplish a mission. God the Father gave Him all of His children, those elected in eternity, gave them to His Son in order that His Son might save them. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Son of Man to do just that. And there was only one way to do that, to accomplish what He set out to accomplish, your salvation and my salvation. The only possible way was the way of the cross, where atonement for sin was made, and the way of the resurrection from the grave, so that that resurrection life can be given to us. It must take place. No other way for the salvation of His people. But back to the main point here. And the main point is this. The angels to the women that morning, you knew that. You knew these words of Jesus. It was folly for you to come with precious ointments in your hands, because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said that He would arise from the grave 3 days after His death. And so, having come to the grave in the weakness of their faith, through the words of these angels, they remembered. That's verse 8. They remembered His words. And that applies to us this morning. Why is it that we believe that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, arose from the grave? We believe that because the Word of God tells us He arose. By faith, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave. Think about it for those women. There were other things that may have indicated that Jesus Christ arose. There were, and we can look at those things. There was the fact that the tomb was empty. There was the fact that the grave clothes were there undisturbed with the headpiece at the side. But in the end, that was not why they would believe that the Lord Jesus Christ arose. They needed to hear this word of the angel that said, "Remember! He said this would take place. He said He would die. He said He would arise 3 days later. And because He said that, remember those words and believe those words." And they did. They went to the grave in the weakness of their faith, expecting to find that dead body. Through the word of the angel, their faith was made strong, remembering the words of Jesus Christ, believing those words, and going back to announce to the others the same gospel that we hear this morning. Beloved, that's our faith. That's the church's faith this morning, thousands of years after this event took place. Because understand what faith is all about. Faith always begins with the Word of God. God comes to us with His Word and says, "This is the truth." And true faith, beloved, believes that word. When everything else may seem to the contrary, when all the appearances may seem as others, when others cast argument and argument against this truth, we stand fast to the Word of God and believe by faith that the Lord arose. And if you think about it, we have so much more than even those women that first Easter morning. Because the word that we must remember and the word that we must believe by faith is not only that saying of the Lord Jesus Christ, but all of the Scriptures. All of the Scriptures that say to us this morning, Jesus Christ, your Savior, arose from the grave. From Job and his announcement of the resurrection, to the Psalm 16 and 30, to all of the historical accounts, to the apostles' words in the epistles, 1 Corinthians 15, where we derive all of the hope and comfort from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the word that comes to us this morning. Jesus Christ arose from the dead, and by faith, faith alone, we believe that. And understand why that is so important. It's Easter. It's a holiday. The world makes this even a holiday. The whole world. But on every side, even in the broader evangelical church world, it's corrupted. Because this is attacked. The truth is attacked. This particular aspect of the truth, Jesus Christ arose from the grave, that's nonsense. How could it be a man becoming alive who was dead? It defies all logic. It defies all principles of science. It goes against human reasoning and logic. In the face of all of that, beloved, we say, He arose. The Word of God comes to us this morning and says, He arose. Remember the Word of God and believe by faith that He arose. That's worth mentioning this morning simply because of the fact that the world does make this a holiday so that we can look outside at the broader circle of things where that is the attack upon the truth that we are dealing with this morning. An attack upon the fact that Jesus Christ arose by faith, a faith worked by God. We, with the women that morning, remember, and it's more than remembering, it's believing. Believing by faith that our Savior not only died for us, but our Savior arose from that grave. And by faith we believe that with joy in our hearts. This is a beautiful morning for us. We love Resurrection Sunday. Joy fill our hearts. Christ the Lord is risen today. With joy in our hearts we believe this glorious truth, because in this truth, as we said at the beginning, is found all of our salvation. He had to arise from the grave, because through that resurrection life of Jesus Christ, we have our salvation. Everything earned for us on the cross, the atonement for our sins, is given to us as the Lord Jesus Christ arose from that grave. A beautiful morning this morning. We love to hear the gospel of the resurrection, the gospel that comes to us and says, not here, not in the grave. The grave did not have the victory. Death does not have the victory for Him and therefore for us. He is not here, but He is arisen. Believe that gospel, people of God, and receive the comfort, the hope, that gospel affords for us on this resurrection morning. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word that comes to us this morning and says, the Lord Jesus Christ is risen today. By faith we believe that. By faith we cling to Thy word and receive the great hope and the great comfort that such a word affords us. Fill us with joy in this morning. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing Psalter number 302. Psalter number 302, speaking of the victory of Jesus Christ. Let's sing the three stanzas.